Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. You can think of CBS Sports Radio. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Homer Hickey continues to be a thing. He just said that he believes the Knicks season, it's a failure. Did I get that right? If they lose
absolutely
to the Heat in the second
how
round?
How is it not?
You're an idiot.
What do you mean I'm an idiot? You got a team that you match up with really
a
well in the
failure
Heat in the
a
second
failure
round of the playoffs. You got to capitalize while you're there. Absolutely.
You if I would have told you four before the start of the season, shut up for a second. If I would have told you before the start of the season that the Knicks would have got to the playoffs not as a play-in team and won a first-round series when they didn't even have home court advantage, you wouldn't have believed that. You wouldn't have. You would not have believed that.
Well, they're a playoff team coming in the year.
A play-in team, maybe, at best, people were saying.
Hmm. I don't know about that, but
my
hopes were not high, but it's like they were a playoff team.
More expected to be in the play-in
tournament. As you know, change as things progress and as events happen.
Heading into the year, Milwaukee was perceived to be better. Boston was perceived to be better. The Sixers were perceived to be better. The Cavs were perceived to be better. Brooklyn, and I know things changed with Brooklyn because Kyrie and KD wanted out. The Heat were perceived to be better. The Hawks were perceived to be better. And that's just for starters. You can even throw the Bulls in there. Like, they were expected to be a play-in tournament team, the Knicks. And they've won a series where they beat a team in Cleveland who had a better regular season record. And now you're going up against Miami, who's not your traditional eight seed, that has Jimmy Butler. You look at Miami, if I were to tell you for the year Miami and the Knicks would have met up in the postseason, you would think Miami would have won. For you to say that this season for the Knicks is a failure is just so hot take. And so in the moment, it's ridiculous.
They're 3-1 against them in the regular season.
The regular season doesn't matter in the NBA.
Why not?
It doesn't.
Are we learning about the Nuggets that it matters? I would say so because they look pretty damn good.
No, like, it was just about getting Jamal Murray healthy and showing he could gel when he was back.
Teams playing well in the regular season translating to the playoffs. And so, yeah, a team that you played who had fared well against, you match up well against, you meet now in the second round when you get home court advantage. And, oh yeah, by the way, their best player is banged up in Jimmy Butler with an ankle injury. You have to take advantage of that. I don't see how that's a failure whatsoever. The expectations change as again, events happen. And the Knicks, okay, you said they get to the second round, they lose. Okay, if it gets the Bucks, fine. What are you going to do? It's the Bucks.
By the way,
now you get a gift with the Heat winning. You have to take advantage.
Can you hear this crap in the background, just wondering?
No.
The TV, the volume in this studio, it just pops on out of nowhere. Is there a way that from where I'm standing, I know I have the remote, but I can't find a way to get the volume down because it reads the top TV, but out of nowhere. This has happened before, as you know, hosting here at CBS Sports Radio. The TV just randomly starts blasting out volume here because the company has organized these TVs in maybe the dumbest way possible. So I kept on hearing the hockey game as you were just trying to give that passionate defense of a rant. And we'll get back to it in just a second. But this is, you can only operate with the equipment that they give us. But you really didn't hear that, by the way? I know this is live on the air and it makes for crappy radio, but you couldn't hear that sound?
No, these microphones are good. They pick up what's right in front of them. That's your voice and, for the most part, nothing else.
Gotcha. But come on, this is not a failure for the Knicks. The Miami Heat, like, outside of you, I think most people expected the Heat to win this series going in. And outside of the New York fan, most people thought the Heat were going to win this series. The Heat just beat the Bucks. They beat the Bucks, for crying out loud. The Knicks would not have beat the Bucks, especially with how quickly the Heat did so, too.
You're probably telling me the not, Knicks but beat styles the Bucks? Make fights. Just because the Heat beat the Bucks doesn't mean, and the Knicks probably Could wouldn't have, fake. Doesn't all of a sudden mean that now it's like, oh, the Heat are this big bad team and the Knicks losing in five, they should be happy to get one game. Absolutely not.
So you really, this is genuine. This is not just you where you're going to wake up tomorrow and go, oh, this is hot take.
There's no hot take here. I'm being dead serious.
You need
to absolutely win this series. They're in the running right now. Win this game. The Heat have done nothing that has impressed me, to be honest with you. Outside of really, honestly, the final 5 minutes, and I actually put them more than the Knicks.
They didn't impress you in the Bucks series?
Hobbling around in this series, I'm saying. Hobbling around on one foot, and they decided to just leave them be in the corner for whatever reason. Outside of that, it's more than the Knicks right now.
Bam Adebayo is having a pretty damn good game tonight.
Yeah, about time. Woke up finally. Guys, it's been terrible this playoffs.
You are so lost when it comes to the Knicks.
I don't understand how this is like a crazy thought.
A failure the whole season because they lose the second round series and no one thought they were going to be in the second round before the season started is now a failure.
When you have the opportunity right in front of you, you got to take advantage. Absolutely.
This is not like you had 73 wins and you were going up against this horrible team. This team just took out the number one seed.
And you got a big break to get to the conference finals. Okay. I don't understand how, like, what am I missing?
You're missing the Knicks aren't as good as what you thought they are. Remember, and this is not anti-Knicks. I love Leon Rose. I like what he's building with the New York Knicks. But the Knicks fans win one series, and they all think they're going to the conference finals. It's like, it's crazy to me that that's actually how all these Knicks fans do operate. That's nuts.
When you see the Bucks go down, absolutely.
The Knicks aren't as good as they played in the regular season. They're just not. They're not a team that you look at them and you go, wow, this should be a conference finals team. This is a team that I thought could beat Cleveland, and then that was it. And to think that this team was actually going to beat Miami after Miami just beat Milwaukee, even with Jimmy Butler, you know, with him finding out not to be 100%, that's just crazy to me. Jimmy Butler, when he's not even 100%, is still better than any player the Knicks have. And I love Brunson.
I don't understand how expectations changing once the Heat win, how that's like ludicrous.
Because to say the whole season is a failure when I did not expect you guys to beat Miami. It just that does not register.
Well, so for you, the Knicks, this is not the OKC Thunder that they're up and coming in the young.
I understand, but it doesn't mean the entire season is a failure.
Now you're here to win right now, and you got a gift. Take advantage of the
Knicks organization doesn't even believe that they're here to win right now. There's no way. If you would have told the Knicks organization at the All-Star break that they would have won a first round series, they would have signed for that in a second.
Sure, and again, I'm not disagreeing with that. The only thing I'm disagreeing on, as soon as the Heat win, now all of a sudden it's okay, let's get to the conference finals.
So you think the Knicks are actually better than Miami?
Yes.
That's where the disconnect is.
I don't really understand how that's a hot take. Or like, yeah, I think a lot of people would say that.
Miami just beat the Bucks. The Knicks would not have beat the Bucks. It's not that hard. Just because where the seeding is and you tell me the regular season and all that stuff, most people, if you ask 10 people, who do you think's going to win between the Heat and then also the Knicks? I think most people, the overall majority, would say you would expect the Heat to win that series. That's just the way that it operates.
And maybe 60-40 Heat. I don't think it's anywhere further than that. No way.
Okay, that's fine. You could take the Knicks glasses off, and we'll see what happens when the Heat, quickly dispose of the Knicks in this series. Watch, the Knicks will end up coming back and win this game tonight. That would be the best thing for you tonight. But the season would be a failure if they don't win this series. Nonsense. All right, let's get to Onsides Offsides. Hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Zach, what do you got for me?
Yesterday, Devin Booker had another insane game on Sunday, helped the Suns tie the series at 2-2. The three-time All-Star scored 36 points on 14 of 18 shooting. This performance comes after an extremely impressive 47-point performance in which he went 20 of 25 shooting from the field on Friday night. In the 9 postseason games Booker's played in so far this year, he's averaging 36.8 points per game, which leads all NBA players. He's shooting 62% from the field, including 51% from three. Onsides or offsides, Devin Booker has been the best player this postseason.
Onsides, he has been. If Jimmy Butler didn't get hurt and Jimmy Butler's still playing great, you could argue that it's going that it would have been Jimmy Butler. But right now, I would have to say that it's Devin Booker in the moment with what he's been able to do. And like you said, he's shooting 62%, which is just flat out stupid.
Sticking with this series, the home team has held serve so far in each of the first 4 games. Nuggets won games 1 and 2 by an average of 14 points per game. While in 3 and 4, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker carried the team, combining to score 158 of Phoenix's 250 points. Now, the series does return to Denver on Tuesday night. Nikola Jokic will be playing after not being suspended after his incident with Matt Ishbia yesterday. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But for right now, at least, onsides or offsides, with the series tied 2-2 back in Denver, the Nuggets will win the series.
I'll go on sides. I still like Denver to win this series. You got to think Landry Shamet's not going to be as hot as he was in that fourth quarter. You'll see if anyone else is going to be able to step up outside of Booker and also Kevin Durant for them for the rest of the series. It was a close game last night. I'll go, though, Denver to win this series with Jamal Murray being a huge part of that and just with that killer instinct that he does have. So give me the Nuggets.
James Harden was terrific yet again on Sunday, scoring 42 points, including hitting the tying shot to send the game to overtime and the winning shot in the extra session to tie the series at two games apiece. Now, Harden is the first Sixers player since Allen Iverson to score at least 40 points twice in a postseason. Onsides or offsides, the Sixers will beat the Celtics in this series.
I am concerned about Boston. I don't like what I've seen from the Boston Celtics in the postseason. You saw them up against the Hawks be lackadaisical. And then really, in this series so far, you could tell there's a different gear from Boston. And you even heard it from their coach in the game last night when they had it mic'd up for one of those segments where they take you inside the huddle. And they show you that gear in the fourth quarter where they were getting dominated the first three quarters by the Sixers. And out of nowhere, this game's headed into overtime. And in overtime, I thought they waited too long. You don't want to take a timeout, okay. But they waited way too long. They didn't even get the shot off when you had, I think when they got the ball, it was like 18 seconds left when they got that ball back. You left Harden wide open. It seems like Boston, they look at the lay of the land and they know they're expected to get there. The only team that was really going to be a pain in their rear end was going to be the Bucks, and the Bucks got out of it in the first round. It seemed like once that happened, Boston just exhaled. And that's dangerous because you're playing with fire. I still think they'll get to the finals. They don't want to see Miami. Can they beat Miami? Absolutely. And I do think they'll beat Miami. If they get the Knicks, I think they'll be jumping for joy. The Boston Celtics, but they have not been tested yet, and now they're going to get tested because this is 2-2, and I still think there is a thought in their mind, we own the Sixers, and you're going to anticipate that James Harden does not give you more of those efforts in games one and games four, and Embiid's not 100%. So I still think that they'll win this series in the Boston Celtics, but I don't like what I'm seeing from them in terms of winning a championship. So you ask me, Sixers will beat the Celtics in the series, I'll go offside.
Offside!
Nikola Jokic and Suns owner Matt Ishbia were involved in an altercation on Sunday's game number four. Now, in case you missed it, after the ball went into the stands, the Joker raced to get the ball in order to restart play. Ishbia, who was holding the ball, refused to give it back to Jokic before it was jarred loose, sent even further back in the stands. And once that ball went further, Jokic was visibly frustrated, did throw an elbow towards the Suns owner, knocking it backwards. Now, there was a little bit of flopping going on from Ishbia's perspective.
But it did send him
backwards. You are right about that. A lot of what to do about nothing. But long story short, the two-time MVP was teed up in the game. Came out that now, earlier today, he will not be suspended for game number five. Onsides or offsides, you agree with the NBA's decision to not suspend Nikola Jokic for game five?
Yeah, 100% onsides. Nikola Jokic didn't need to run over to go get that basketball. I thought that was stupid. And then it was equally stupid, if not, it was actually dumber with what Matt Ishbia did. You're the owner of the team. Just give the basketball back. It was so dumb. Everyone's making a big deal out about this. I know it's a fun topic in the last 24 hours, but if they actually suspended Nikola Jokic, that just would have been a flat-out joke. So, there's no way he should have been suspended.
And finally, on Friday, Brian Windhorst of ESPN said this on Get Up about Giannis' future in Milwaukee.
While we were up here arguing about who the MVP was going to be or whether the Lakers are going to make the playoffs, one of the most important things in the NBA happened when the owner of the Bucks, Mark Lazary, sold in the middle of the season.
So why did he do it?
Because of the thundercloud that is on the horizon. Giannis has a contract extension this offseason. Now, he's under contract for two more years. But if he doesn't sign that extension, orange light. We got problems. They've got two free agents in their 30s, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, with the repeater tax starting for them next year, and a bunch of new rules, which CJ knows better than anybody because the man negotiated the contract. The rules are set up to penalize teams that are high-salary teams, hamstringing them. And they have to decide on a coach and whether to pay two 30-year-olds whether or not, and they have to, and Giannis can't decide on his extension until September. It's the chicken and egg theory. The Bucks are in a quagmire, so, and we have the first move with the firing of Budenholzer.
So a lot of questions going forward about the Bucks' future, onsides or offsides. Giannis should look to leave the Bucks within the next 2 years.
I understand the premise by Windhorse, but that was like all over the place in his actual explanation. All he needed to say was they got to go find a way to make the right moves in the next few years, and them firing Budenholzer is them saying, we feel like we need to do this in order to put Giannis in the best position to win a championship moving forward. Like, that's all Windhorse had to say. It's like, I understood what he was trying to say, but he kind of lost me in that long rant of his, Hickey.
I mean, I think he was trying. It's tough because I think he was trying to he doesn't give opinions.
He gives too much information.
So I think he tried to give information and not make it sound like he's giving his opinion. But there are, like, a lot of constraints with the salary cap, questions about an aging roster.
Sure.
Like, there are reasons, if you're Giannis, to doubt the future.
Where are you going?
Of the Bucks. I mean, there's a lot of teams interested in him. I don't think
obviously everyone's going to be interested in him. He's one of the best players in the league.
I don't think Giannis will leave. So, I think, to me, that's...
I'm just saying, right now, Giannis, I don't think, is looking to leave the Bucks. But if they don't get this right in the next few years, and remember, this is coming from me, who was the biggest supporter a few years ago of Giannis staying in Milwaukee. No one did a bigger push in the media than me to keep Giannis in Milwaukee. But right now, I can't say he should leave Milwaukee because I got to see how they respond to this failure of a season. And if you don't do the right things in the next 2 years, you don't improve the team, then yeah, there's a chance that he could leave. But right now, should he leave? No. Offside.
Offside.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Anthony Gargano will join us next to talk about the Sixers.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. James Harden. Well, he was like game one James Harden yesterday in the city of brotherly love as he ties up this series at 2 games apiece before they do shift back to Boston. Harden yesterday, 42 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists. And let's head out to the hotline right now and welcome in from 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia, to talk about this series, Anthony Gargano. Cuz, what's happening, my friend?
Play it, Zach. Play it. Play the soul, Zach.
By the way, I thought about you this weekend, and it had to do with food. So I was in Philly for a wedding, and one of my best friends got married at the Franklin Institute. It was a wonderful affair, and I was in the wedding, so you know how this works. The girls get ready at like 9 a.m. with like 10 hours of makeup and all that, and the guys just sit around, and we drink a bunch of beer. And my buddy, he ordered some Primo Hoagies, and I was eating a chicken Supremo hoagie, and all I thought about was Anthony Gargano.
That's awesome. That is beautiful. Anytime you want them, I'll make sure you get them right to the studio, brother.
Absolutely love it. Oh, I forgot how good those hoagies were, too. That chicken Supremo hoagie was just unbelievable. How do you describe the performance yesterday, by the way, cuz of James Harden?
I mean, he's a shapeshifter. Have you ever seen anybody like him over, like, what has happened the last 4 games, right? So game one, he is magical and he plays great. There's no Embiid. And they win. And you go, okay, well, maybe Boston wasn't playing good enough defense or in tight end to figure it out. Then game two, he's not good, but Embiid comes back. The offense will disjoint it. He shoots 2 for 14. Okay, you throw it out. Game three at home, he's horrendous. Friday night, he played one of the worst games. I thought he was Tony from Blue Chips, who was point shaving, right? Like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And then he comes back. Just when everybody's cursing him and they're talking about playoff Harden, and he's 10 times better than he, as bad as he was Friday, he was 10 times better as he was. Like, he was unbelievable. He played, he was clutch, he was money, like the floater to tie it in regulation, and then calmly buries the triple from the corner. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. He changes from like hour to hour. It's wild.
What do you think you're going to get from Harden the rest of the series? Because that's the multi-million dollar question.
I have no idea, Zach. It's crazy. I don't know. He could be horrible, and then he'll drop, you know, another 40-bagger. I don't know. Listen, here's what I do know, is that he seems really comfortable when they rely on him, when they need him, right? When they're going to him, he seems pretty comfortable. Now, does the Celtics adjust and pick him up three-quarter court? Like, we never pick him up three-quarter court, and they didn't allow the spacing. And that means the screens and fighting through the screens and the switches. When he has space, he's showing you he's got legs and he's deadly. He didn't have space Friday night, and he didn't have space in game two either. That's going to be the key. If he can get clean and has space, he'll score. If not, you know, you can better dump it into Embiid.
The Embiid conversation today, I was listening to a lot of Philly radio today, is so frustrating because when you watch that game, you expected more out of him in the fourth quarter, and it doesn't help when Al Horford is just doing a great job on him defensively. But also, it's like that's what Sixers fans have kind of been bitching about the last few years, how they need someone outside of Embiid to be that closer. So what was your read on Embiid yesterday in the conversation 24 hours later?
I mean, I'll be honest. In fairness, the dude played was out of his mind Friday night, right? He was by himself Friday night. Nobody else played well. Maxey's been killing him, and I love Maxey to death, but they need him. Tobias was in foul trouble on Friday night. He had a bad game yesterday, right? It was Embiid. Embiid was gassed. Remember, he comes back last Wednesday. He plays Friday, dominates, then has to play again Sunday. Big guy, by the fourth quarter, was gassed. I think that's pretty legitimate. And by the way, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt on that call. Especially if you're not going to call the Tatum push before that, then Embiid's got to get the call. One of them, it's got to be equal in that sense. I think Embiid will actually play well. I think he's giving you, with that knee, he's giving you exactly what you want. I think he's playing good ball. Friday night, he was spectacular.
I also thought Anthony Gargano, Doc did a good job because he's been polarizing in Philly. And Doc going after the officials last night in a win, that was really a Philly type of move.
It was. And guess what? He's been and people all over the country go after him. And you know that when it comes to blowing leads, I thought he called a really good game. I didn't have a problem with any of the substitution. The play he draws up, I thought was really well. Like when he dumped the ball in the Embiid, and Embiid got deeper into the post, right? Then as Jaylen Brown comes over to help out, he dishes clear. By the way, it's a great pass Embiid makes to Harden in the corner. That was a Doc play. That was a good play. I got to tell you. And they didn't completely melt down. I've seen them melt down before. When they blow a lead, they did not melt down. Now, part of it was Harden, but I think he's coached a really good series. I have no issues with that.
Anthony Gargano, were you surprised yesterday in regulation and then also overtime that Mazzulla didn't take a timeout?
Yeah, I remember, especially after he's been on the fire for that. So I thought for sure, especially in overtime, because you want to make sure that you're going to run a play where it's Brown or Tatum, and you're not relying on Smart again. Because Smart, even though he makes it and it's a tick late, he misses the three at the end of regulation. You got to get Brown. That's his game right there. You got to put either Jaylen or Tatum. That's the two-man game, and that's why you got to call timeout there.
I'll tell you, with the Celtics, and they did not look great up against the Hawks, and in this series, it's just been two different versions. They should still probably go to the finals, but they really have not impressed me in the playoffs so far.
No, especially down the stretch. They're kind of odd down the stretch. Sometimes they're tight, and then sometimes – and listen, Tatum was great. He was great yesterday. I mean, he was fantastic down the stretch. But you saw him in game two. They disappeared. Game one, they looked like they were scared down the stretch. It's been odd. And then yesterday, they took more threes than twos when it comes to field goal attempts. I mean, 44-43. I got to tell you, they're an interesting team, but I can't completely give them the series just yet. I want to see if they get pushed and how they react. That'll tell them the whole story.
Oh, they're playing with fire. There's no doubt about it because they basically sleptwalked through the first three quarters of the game, and then Mazzulla's like, I know we could play a different level defensively, and then in a snap of a finger – that game was tied. I could not believe that, and I know basketball, it's a game of runs. I feel like you just turn the final 5 minutes for all these games. But it felt like the Sixers were just dominating. The next thing you know, you look up, it's an eight-point game, and an eight-point game turns into a tie game.
I'll tell you, to me, the MVP for them is Brogdon. Brogdon's had a hell of a series. He kept them in the game yesterday. I mean, you know, open threes, good defense. He's kept them in the game. He's played. He's had a really good series.
And I really think it's going to be the third player that ends up deciding this. Like, you talked about it with the Sixers. I know Harden, it was sandwiched in between 1 and 4 with just two dreadful performances. But you know he's going to get his. And Embiid, even on one leg, is going to get his. Tatum and Brown, they're going to be more aggressive. I think the third player really is going to decide this series on who ends up winning it between Boston and Philly.
Rob, I think that's brilliant. And that's where Maxey. Remember, Tyrese Maxey, who's a dynamic player, who's going to be a star in this league. His issue, though, has been Boston. He had, in 7 games against Boston, he had double figures only twice. He had a decent game 1. He has not played well in the last 3 games. They need him. They need him to score in flurries. They need him to shoot the 3 ball. He's paramount to them to get quick runouts and easy baskets. Maxey is the key to this series. If they unleash him, if he can find his way against Boston, Sixers have a shot.
But can he find his way with also Embiid and Harden finding their ways, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, I think, listen, he's done it all year. It's not like he's taking a complete, total backseat to them. I mean, look, Harden, especially, will be able to play more distributor. There are moments when Doc puts the ball in his hands and says, go ahead, young man, go carry him. And he did it against Brooklyn, too. And in 2 of the games, he carried them. So I think there's more than enough space for him to do it.
The emotions in Philadelphia today, after getting that win where it looked like they were going to blow them out, and then they had to sweat it out in the worst possible way, but they found a way to prevail by 1. What are the emotions in Philly the rest of the way about this series?
It's all exhaustion, man. Exactly. Complete exhaustion. People were just mentally drained. Because Friday night, you think it's over after that. I mean, Friday night was just dreadful, especially the way Embiid plays. And then yesterday, it looks good, only to have that dramatic overtime in the last 4 minutes where you go, oh, my God, they're going to lose. And then it's got shades of all the other playoff failures. Remember, this is the 6th iteration of the Sixer team post-process. So this fan base has been through it, and they've been felt right, like through the ringer. It's like, let me catch my breath, because the best of 3 that's coming up is going to just be white-knuckle ball.
And it's also, I know Harden played great yesterday, so it may not be the time to make this take, but when you watch Jimmy Butler play with the Heat, even on one ankle, it's like, how the heck did they just not keep Embiid and but I know the answer to it, but how they didn't keep Embiid and Butler in Philly is maddening.
I know. We know we came down to the owner and Brett Brown, and, you know, Jimmy went to Josh, and Brett said, it's, you know, basically Jimmy said it's either me or Brett. Then you had the Simmons factor, and it just made more sense for Josh Harris to just kind of move on, which has killed him. It has. I mean, you know, Jimmy's an alpha, and he and Joe get along. It's a shame, but I just don't see how that situation was going to get rectified with Brett Brown being in the way and Simmons being there, and ironically, all 3 are gone.
Last thing I'll ask you, I know it's a bit silly, but I remember when Josh Harris bought the Devils. Some fans were annoyed that he was owning the Sixers and then owning the Devils. Now with him looking like he's getting into bed with the Commanders and taking the team from Daniel Snyder, are fans upset with that, or does it just not matter because the guy's allowed to do it?
I mean, some people are, but
stupid.
I'm not going to bury the guy for God bless him. He's actually a great owner, and the Eagles are for sale. I'm sure if the Eagles were for sale, and Jeff Lurie, who's an equally great owner, would hand him the keys, he'd take him. But, you know, he grew up outside Chevy Chase, Maryland, and, you know, but listen, it makes 4 cents. So I don't see how, in that case, you can't be petty. You just got to go, he's a great owner, he's taking care of my team, and he's got the highest coaching payroll. He's got all kinds, he treats the Sixers really well, and that's all I care about.
Cuz, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Love you, brother. My man.
There you go. Anthony Gargano joining us. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Give us a little feel in Philadelphia after the Sixers did tie up the series yesterday 2-2. And what a wild game that was. Because when that game got tied and the way that the Sixers performed in that 4th quarter, I thought for sure they were going to lose the game. That was one of the more entertaining postseason games that you'll see. Just when you have a team dominating like that, through the first three quarters, and then in a blink of an eye, this game ends up going to overtime, and how Boston had a chance at regulation to win it and in overtime to go on out there and win it, and you have Harden rising up, just makes for a really fun rest of this series at two apiece. I still think Boston's going to win. I still think Boston is the better team, but I got to see it from Boston. Because with Boston, it's almost as if they know that they should beat the Sixers, and they've been better than the Sixers a bunch of times in the postseason when these teams have matched up. But to see the way that they played through the first three quarters, when you have a chance to basically knock out a team and go up 3-1, that is concerning. And still, they put the foot of the gas just way too late. They waited so long to do that. So when I look at this Celtics team, they have not been tested yet. The Hawks series went longer than what it should. This series is now at 2-2. We're going to see Boston now getting tested, because it's almost as if once Milwaukee went down, Boston was like, all right, we're a shoo-in for the NBA Finals. I still think Boston's going to get there, but they're making it tougher than what it actually needs to be. We'll do the closing bell next. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. But before we toss it to the latest CBS Sports Radio update, welcome back to the studio, Marco Belletti.
What do you say, Zach?
By the way, with how long it took you to take a vacation, I actually chuckled when Hickey told me why you were taking a, if you even want to call it a vacation, last week.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, guys come and demo the two bathrooms and... You know, I spent a day in urgent care for like 6 hours.
Oh, I didn't know you were in urgent care.
It was a tremendous vacation, I got to tell you.
Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, sure. Everything's great. Nothing better than spending 5 days and just completely flushing them down the toilet. It's, yeah, it's tremendous.
So what work did you get done in your house?
Kind of fixed both bathrooms, kind of. And that was a cluster, to say the least. And now they still have to come back, even though
you took a whole
it should have got done in a week. But there was a lot of confusion and chaos and stupidity. And now they'll come back and finish the whole thing in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, when they told me last week that you were out for the entire week, I'm like, oh, good for Marco. He took a vacation. And Hickey goes, I think he's just getting work done in his house. And I go, that's the most Marco thing to do, because I just can't ever picture you taking a real vacation.
I would love to just say like, oh, take the week. I had to do no choice. But like the hours that you work, I kind of did the math in my head. I'm like, yeah, if they're going to be there for like 8 to 10 hours during the day, and that's basically right when I go to work is when they get done. When exactly am I going to sleep? One of the bathrooms in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Where exactly am I? So I had to take the week off just because I couldn't figure out how to sleep.
And with a pregnant wife, too, you got to make
and
sure
she's due any day. So, yeah. It was just kind of like, you got to figure it out. So it is what it is. And hopefully it'll, when they come back in 6 or 8 weeks or whenever that is, hopefully everything is done without any more glitches.
Yeah, I was trying to think where Marco Belletti would vacation to. Like most people, they go vacation on a nice, warm area. Marco just sits on the couch and
I sit on the couch and listen to screwdrivers and hammering and it was.
I've never heard of the term, but before Samter's kid was born, him and his wife went on a baby moon, where they went away before the baby was born. They went away for a few days. And I was like, oh, Marco's wife is pregnant. And I go, maybe Marco went on a baby moon. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like Marco.
I got to tell you, never heard of that before in my life.
Neither have I.
And, no idea what that is.
I was very surprised when Samter said it. I've never heard of the term. But, hey, if you want to celebrate things before the baby's born, you want to go away and have a nice little vacation with the wife, who are we to judge?
It didn't happen. But... considering the kids, like I said, it's due any day, and I'll take a couple of weeks when that happens, so you won't see me again probably soon.
Gotcha. And we'll just make sure Marco's not getting his shed redone in his backyard for the next
No, vacation. That thing's rotted. Forget about it. If I get it redone, I get it knocked down and put up a new one. Forget about it. It's gone.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Steamroller! How about that? Matt Frivola, the Steamroller. Friend of show, knocks out Drew Dober in the first round at UFC on Saturday night at the Prudential Center. give a stock up to the Steamroller. Got to give a stock up to James Harden. He was great in game one, horrible in games two and three. 5 made field goals combined, games two and three, and then goes 42 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, gets them into overtime, and wins it in overtime. The 1-2-3-4-5 Sixers, 10-9-8-76ers, tie the series up at 2 games apiece. Big reason James Harden stock up. I got to show some love to the Suns. I thought the Suns were going to be going back to Denver, and it was going to be 3-1. It's now 2-2. Durant and Booker the last 2 games have been unconscious, and we know what Devin Booker's been able to do in this postseason so far. 36 points and 12 assists the other night as the Suns survive up against the Denver Nuggets, 129-124. So give a stock up to the Suns, and more importantly, Devin Booker. Who, by the way, in 9 postseason games this year, he's averaging 36.8 points per game on 62% shooting, including 51% from 3. Just insanity. Okay, let's go to the ice. Yesterday, you had 3 games, and 2 of them were extremely high scoring. The Devils win 8-4. They get on the board in this series. Carolina still leads 2-1, but the Devils beat the Hurricanes 8-4 in game 3 in this series. Let's hear Jack Hughes score his 2nd goal of the game to give the Devils a 7-2 lead. This is Devils Radio.
For Hughes, spinning along the goal line. Backhand toward Meyer, and he scores. Was it Meyer or was it Hughes on the deflection? The Devils lead 7-2.
Jack Hughes, 2 goals, 2 assists. Give him a stock up. In overtime yesterday, the Panthers take a 3-0 series lead. They win 3-2 in OT. So much for those Maple Leafs fans chanting for the Florida Panthers instead of the Boston Bruins, because Florida is 1 win away from going to the conference finals. Last year, the President's Trophy winners, they lost in the 2nd round where they got swept by Tampa Bay, and now they're 1 win away with the fewest points in the postseason, heading into the postseason out of any team, from going to the conference finals. The Maple Leafs had a goalie injury, but Sam Reinhart scored the game winner in OT. Let's listen up to Panthers Radio.
Rims around Anton Lundell down behind the net. Reinhart wraps around. He scores! Sam Reinhart, the overtime winner! And the Panthers take a 3-game sit-on lead in this series against Toronto. 3-2 the final. Sam Reinhart ends it tonight.
Give Sam Reinhart a stock up. Kraken Stars, game 3 in Seattle. Kraken take a 2-1 series lead as they beat Dallas 7-2. Let's hear Carson Soucy score to make it 3-0 in the 2nd. Here's Everett Fitzhugh on the Kraken Radio Network.
Here's Circle. Soucy shot. Scores! The Soucy!
That's amazing. That's a great call. Is that Everett Fitzhugh who we gave a compliment to last week? We got to get him on because he's phenomenal. Now, there was no goal scored in this first period between both teams yesterday. Seattle put a 5 spot up in the 2nd. Dallas only scored 1. The final ended up being 7-2. So give, you know what, Everett Fitzhugh a stock up. Schedule release. There were some concerns. People thought it was going to get pushed back. Folks, May 11th. We're 3 days away from the schedule release. That's great, because then we could sit there and do win losses and absolutely love that stuff. Give a stock up to the schedule coming out later in the week. Landry Shamet. Everyone talks about Booker and KD. He was awesome yesterday in that 4th quarter and needed it if you're a Suns fan in order to get that dub. Give Landry Shamet a stock up. Mark Jones was horrible yesterday. I'm not a huge fan of Mark Jones when it comes to him calling NBA games. He had no clue what happened on the charge. He thought it was an and-one. At the end of the game, he had no control and barely told you what was happening. And then James Harden did a great thing where he brought, unfortunately, someone who was shot in the Michigan State shooting and is paralyzed. And Harden hits a big shot in the game, And Mark Jones is like, that's the best medicine that fan could ever ask for. Like, Mark Jones, sometimes he just tries too hard. I saw someone tweet out today that early in the year he was going, first name De'Aaron, last name him, when talking about De'Aaron Fox off the whole I'm him thing. Mark Jones, I'm just not a huge fan of his work when it comes to calling basketball games, and I thought he was horrible yesterday, stock down. And finally, all this screaming and going crazy about Jokic and the Suns owner, it's just like enough. Jokic should have ran over to grab the basketball. Ishbia should have just gave the basketball back. The whole thing was ridiculous. I'm glad there's no suspension, but the conversation the last 24 hours was absurd. Stock down to the conversation regarding that exchange. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Hot Take Hickey. His Knicks are down 106-99 with under a minute to go. Big thanks to Anthony Gargano and Eddie Johnson for joining us as well. We out. Talk tomorrow, everybody. Peace.